Together thus far, haven't we?
Oh, yeah.
Long time.
Oh, the best life, yes.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah. It all comes out of love. Not fearing love, but being the love that you are. Mm-hmm. It might sound a little corny, might sound a little spiritually awkward, but it's actual, isn't it?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It has to do with being the love that you are and not posing yourself, not hiding yourself, not creating fear around love, but and when you cease to create fear around love, wow, life changes. Mm. Thank you. Mm. Om Shri Satche Mahaprabhu Ki Jai, Paramatma Ki Jai, Gurudev Bhagawan Ki Jai, Satcha Sangha Ki Jai. Which Maharaji and the roses are just right around him today. Mm. I certainly would like to be with you today in an exchange. So, you know, if you want to have that exchange, please don't make me wait for you to raise your hand. Just go ahead and raise your hand. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's very strange that a person can fear love. What? I don't quite understand why someone would fear love. Maybe it's their ideas around love, probably that. Their conceptual container about what love is. Mm-hmm. Wang Po, the Buddhists don't speak about love very often. They call it compassion. So that's a very great love because it doesn't require attraction. It doesn't require anything but, not anything but, it doesn't require anything. It's a natural current. Between people. Understanding that I've been there too. Maybe I'll be there again. Maybe I'm there now. This is a very deep love. Mm-hmm. Someone brought up yesterday the three graces. Ah, it was Cody. Sarah and Rachel and Cody are not here. Did they go away? Probably taking care of the little girl.
Yeah, maybe. Rachel wasn't feeling very well yesterday.
Who's not feeling well?
Rachel yesterday wasn't feeling very well.
Okay.
So I haven't seen them today.
Well, it was Cody, and he was saying, do you remember speaking about the three graces? And I feel that it's a good introduction into satsang today. What's wrong with your ear? Well, why did you move? Yeah. That might work really well. Just move over. You come right here. Here, here. You come here. Bring the chair. We'll start in a minute. We're going to adjust right here for a minute. But we'll start here. There you go. Sit right here. Real close. Real close. There you go. Sit down now. Yeah, I suppose this way that we will speak has to do with just about everyone. And you may know the story, you may not know the story, but I'm going to tell the story as I always tell the stories. Tell the story 100 times, 200 times, 300 times. And it's always... through this story. We were sitting on Maharaji's veranda in the early days, and a Sikh man came and sat with us, and he started to talk about someone in the ashram who he really loved and really revered and thought very highly of. And he said to Maharaji, he said, but this person never changes, Maharaji. It seems like you have poured tremendous grace onto this person, and yet this person never... this person never seems to grow, never see... And how is it that you can give so much grace to this person? And if you understood grace, you would see what I'm talking about. I don't think you understand it as of yet. I'm speaking to somebody in particular right now. As of yet, the way that I mean it to be. Because a person can pour grace onto another. Mm-hmm. So in that way. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm there, but I'm...
But you're not.
Yeah, I'm there, but I can't put it around, so I just leave it in a way that I understand, but I don't understand it.
Well, that's what I said. Are you there? Yes or no?
Yes,
it would be the answer.
I can't put those there.
So. That's what I've said.
Yeah.
You don't understand it yet.
Yeah.
And that's perfectly fine, and yet you're moving in it. You're moving in grace. You're moving in the grace of the universe. You're moving in the grace of the sun. You're moving in the grace of colors. You're moving in the grace of shapes. You're moving in the grace of food. You're moving in the grace of breath. You're moving in the grace of heartbeat. You're moving in the grace of movement. You're moving in the grace of youth. You're moving in the grace of intelligence. You're moving in... all of this is grace. Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you can put it in one basket called grace. So this is really good for everyone who's on... this is a satsang. This is not just you. This is a satsang. Everybody benefits from everything that's said, one way or another. Is it true?
Yes.
Absolutely, 100%. They're not... robots. They're not. Let's get back to the on the veranda. So Maharaji's talking with this Sikh man, and the Sikh man was speaking about someone he loved, somebody that he was actually drawn to by heart, following in a way. And he says, but this person never grows. This person never expands. This person always remains in this same place over the years, Maharaji. And you have poured so much grace onto this person. Means love, means consideration, means so many things I can't even think of now, but... maybe I will add to this, what is Maharaji's grace upon this person? Why is it, Maharaji, that you have given so much, we can say it that way, and this person just doesn't seem to move at all? And I love this person so much. And I revere this person so much. And I will follow this person so much. But this very thing I do not understand. And Maharaji said there's three graces. There's three. First grace is God's grace. Means life. Means breath. Means heartbeat. Means food. Means birth, means maintenance, means passing, means friendships, means relationships, means everything that you live for and that lives for you. This is God's grace. In our view, we're not asking you to accept it. This is our view, and maybe it can touch you, maybe not. It's all good. Then he said, there is Guru's grace. And this grace is where you are guided by love, by an undying love, as a matter of fact. You don't understand it, but it is an absolute undying love that will never, ever, ever fade. And it cannot be measured. This is the kind of love, well, kind of love, that's a strange way to put it, but we put it that way for now. This is, you can't even say it's a flavor of love. It is real deep emergence with life and one's inner worlds that never, ever fades, cannot be measured, is not greater here and lesser here. So this is Guru's grace. And we move in this way, and we're guided in this way. To where you have come to be here and have desired to be in yourself. So you're always guided back to yourself. That's Guru's grace. Guru's grace, God's grace. Then he said there's one called one's own grace. Excuse me. And if that grace is missing, nothing will occur. If one's own grace is not active, nothing will occur. And that's why this person is a little stunted, maybe not in the future. You can't say anything about anything except for the moment. You can't project where this person may leap inward. This is the beauty of non-judgment. You don't know. You don't. And that's absolutely wonderful, because when you don't know, you get to see what comes before you. When you're neutral, I call it neutral, it's love. When you're neutral, you can see all sides. When you're not neutral and you're leaning this way or you're leaning that way or you're steadfast in the way that you think and nobody can get in there and exchange with you, well, okay. But so non-judgment is a self-grace. Is that true?
Yes.
I would say so. Non-comparison is a self-grace. Would that be true? I can't compare myself, whether I'm prettier, uglier, fatter or thinner, smarter or dumber, younger or older, whatever it is that I could compare myself to, I just don't do that. And that's called self-grace. So in these ways, when one's own self-grace is enacted, is functioning, one is, well, willing to learn, is being, willing to be reminded, seeing seeing like the seers, like the rishis see. Deeper. Willing to move along. Willing to observe without comment. Well, that one touched a few people. And that's really good, to observe without comment. This really is a wonderful, wonderful vision. Just to look without comment. Once in a while. Once in a while. To see what that's like. No? So, one's self-grace. If one's self-grace is not functioning, if one is in absolute resistance and one knows everything and one cannot be reminded and one cannot be touched and one always has a story between you and other and it's always contentious. Contentious means a contest. Contest. One's self-grace is not enacted because one is stuck in these stories, one is stuck in their judgment, one is stuck. Why do we say stuck? We say stuck because what you think is where you are. And if you're thinking negatively on anyone for any reason, that's where you are. And so we learn to bypass those kinds of places in ourselves so we don't get entrapped in them, in our own beliefs about things. We open it up to see what it really is, and then compassion is possible. Because we see that everybody goes through this. No, everybody goes through this kind of self-examination. Some people are justify and excuse, so there the grace has dried up. When there's no excuse and there's no justification and you don't have to defend yourself, sometimes we do. Sometimes we do. But more often we don't. The self-grace has kind of dried up. So Maharaji was very clear about this, and I looked at it. See, the thing about spirituality is, I don't even like the word spirituality so much. I think it's overused. I think it doesn't really define what's going on here. To touch deeper within ourselves. We are willing to enact the grace of learning what is love. I mean, in a very broad sense. Being that love. Ceasing to have all of these little dramas going on to entertain ourselves, to be free of them. So that when you're sitting on the cliff, you're sitting on the cliff. When you're sitting under the tree, you're sitting under the tree. When you're here, no? Yeah. And so spirituality is a discovery in oneself. It's a willingness to discover in oneself what holds oneself away from oneself and what brings oneself, well, this you have to find out. Or not. It's up to you. And it's perfectly fine, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. Nobody can say that you're right or you're wrong, whether one's self-grace is enacted or held like a cage with a lock on it. Everyone is coming home one way or another. And we don't decide, I don't decide, you don't decide to judge somebody for where they are because they're in their perfect place doing exactly what they do. One's self-grace. I'm willing to be incorrect. I'm willing to observe. I'm willing to be correct. I'm willing to be myself overall and to discover what that really means. And it takes time sometimes to discover what that means. And sometimes it's flashed like that. Oh, the hands are up. Good. Ken Chui. That's the way to do it. That's the way to do it. Yes, 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 yes.
Namaste, Guruji.
Namaste, Guruji.
Namaste, Guruji. Thank you. Thank you. Guruji meeting Guruji. Thank you.
Hi.
Mahatmas. Yes. Hi, Guruji. Namaste to you in the Sangha.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Just so, so thankful for all the grace, yeah, that is showered upon, just showered, yeah, upon. Just showered around. And when you said, yes, everyone is coming home one way or another, that really hit a spot. It used to be that when I found something that I thought was or is valuable, I'd be so excited about sharing with everyone else as if it's the next best thing since sliced bread. Exactly. And then when people didn't receive it that way, you know, there'd be disappointment and frustration and thinking like, oh my God, why can't they see that way? And so with being with you and the Sangha has been so, so much of a grace because of being able to see broader and deeper and understanding that I was there once before too, you know, without feeling like, you know, that person needs to be like me just now, like now where I am.
Right, right.
Yes.
Has to think like you do, definitely has to think like you do so that you can be satisfied with your thinking. That's what goes on in the world. This is the problem with the world. People just group think, which is in one way a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
And in another way, a not so good thing.
Mm-hmm.
But when they just follow without considering why they're even holding that view, then it becomes a bit convoluted. Society becomes very convoluted. I've seen on some interviews, yesterday I saw one. I don't like to bring this kind of thing to satsang, but I will for a moment. Okay. Mm-hmm. Just for a moment, just for demonstration. So one man was asking, he was interviewing people on the street and he said, what do you think is the, the most important point to overcome in racism? What's our biggest problem there? And nobody could have an answer.
Mm-hmm.
Not anyone had an answer. They didn't know what the problem was and they didn't know how to overcome it. But yet the people could call each other racists. And they didn't even have a foundation for it. At least the people who were asked. Mm-hmm. Maybe the people do have a foundation for it. We don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Right?
Yes.
And yet, people didn't understand even why they were calling. I don't know, the system or each other or their neighborhood or their teachers or whatever. Racist. They didn't even have a reason for it. Mm-hmm. They were just doing it.
Mm.
So this has to do with you also. Why I brought it up. This has to do with you also wanting, and I know you don't. I know you don't. Dr. Ken, I'm aware. I know you don't. But it was in a view of yours for a short time. I remember that. Yes. Why people don't think like me. Well, they don't think like you because you're not. They're not you.
Yes.
They're themselves, and they're not where you are. And you must. My view about spirituality also, mm-hmm, is that you must not see yourself as higher,
mm-hmm,
others because you're down the road a little. A little, mm-hmm, mm-hmm, or you consider things in your heart. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Always erase and erase and erase your identities until you get to the identity,
mm-hmm,
of perhaps just I am.
Mm-hmm.
I see I am as is the last portal,
mm-hmm,
before we just drop all of it. So go ahead.
Yeah, such a grace to be on this path that you've shown and thrown light on, because there's so much noise and chatter out there otherwise. I mean, recently I met someone who was proudly admitting that I'm a thinker, he said. I'm an absolute thinker. and then another person would talk about, you know, how to have grace and thanks for the future. For example, when we know that past, present, and future are our own making, really.
Yes, they are.
So if I haven't come across you and the Sangha and the directions, then I'd be really confused. And I was very confused before with all that there out there.
Well, Ken, I would say this. You landed in the perfect place for you.
Mm-hmm.
Had you not landed here, the universe would have landed you in another perfect place for, mm-hmm, you.
Mm-hmm.
So
yes.
you're always going to, because wisdom is emerging and guiding. That's why.
Mm-hmm.
Because your desire is to continue with that till the end of time, I would imagine.
Mm-hmm. And I always remember you saying that once you put your foot on this path, you're already living a very blessed life.
Well,
that helps.
Let me correct you here.
Mm. Yes, please, Guruji. Yeah.
The term is, once you put your foot on the path, that's by Zen Master Chinua,
mm-hmm,
a brilliant, brilliant mountain of wisdom. Once you put your foot on the path, you've already had an awakening.
Mm-hmm.
So don't be looking for your awakening. You're already awakened. It's a long journey, very short distance. And the long journey is beautiful and also challenging and also, mm-hmm, irritating. And also marvelous, and also, ouch, hurtful, painful, and also glorious. It is whatever it is. Isn't that wonderful? So in that, we just gate pada samgati bodhisvaha. And I am Shantimai. a.k.a. Master Ying.
Master Ying.
Is that okay with you? Yeah. People want you to be at the end of the road glowing as though you have arrived. Who will arrive? Traceless one will never arrive. Isn't going anywhere. It's really important that we don't get the idea of what it looks like and how it has to be, and at the end, you know, all of that is, it just dissolves away.
Mm-hmm.
It just goes away.
Mm-hmm.
It's so wonderful that it does. I tell you, it is so wonderful that it does. Just like that idea that you had about everybody should be thinking like Ken. Thinking like Ken, thinking like Ken. Why don't they think like Ken? It just dissolved away, didn't it?
Yes. Dissolving.
Yeah. It's so beautiful. Because then you can really, really be with the people and not expect out of them.
Mm-hmm.
If you expect out of you, all the better. But only that your heart is revealing to you the way. Not much other desire. Is there anything else, Ken?
No, thank you, Guruji. Thank you.
Welcome.
Namaste.
Not sure. Is it hearts?
It's palm trees, I think. Yeah. That's it. Yeah. I'll find one with hearts on next time.
Yeah, okay.
Yes. Blessings. Thank you, Namaste. Yeah. Thank you, Guruji. Thank you.
Ellen. Oh, wait, I can't hear you. I don't know why.
No, I have.
Hold on. Cancel. Can I hear you now? No, I can't hear you.
Oh.
There
no.
It is.
No?
Yes, I think it's on my end, not yours.
Hello, Shantimai.
Hello, how are you?
Okay.
Well, you're going to get through it just fine. There's a jewel in it.
Shantimai, I was very touched by your transmission because I prepared today a question what I wanted to bring here about my life. And you know, my English is not so rich.
Don't say that. You're
so English. I prepared it before.
Wait a minute. Your English is perfectly fine.
Okay.
You speak very well. If you run into anything, we can work with it. If you don't understand a word, we can explain it. Your English is really good. Go ahead, please.
Thank you. Okay, the question what I wanted to bring to you was about the simultaneity of generous understanding and acceptance for other people's way of life and being able to say that you have to set boundaries if this way of life is extremely disruptive for your own life, for example, by disturbing by night. This is my situation in the moment here. And I was very touched about your transmission because there is a lot of answer in it. that I have to let go of the judgment?
Yes, for sure. And yet, hold on, Ellen. Yet, there is a discernment. What's the difference between judgment and discernment?
I don't know what is discernment.
Uh-huh. We're a new English word.
Mm-hmm.
See, this is how it can work for us. Judgment is this. You are that. I see it. There's, you act like this. You act like that. It's repulsive. It's, you know, whatever. Or wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. You're so wonderful. You know, you're just so great, so great, so great. That's also judgment. So we silence it. And when we silence it, we can see each other in a very marvelous way, just a very simple way, just a very loving way. We don't even have to call it loving. It just is. Is that so? When we don't judge? Isn't that so? Is it or isn't it? You're not very enthusiastic about it. Have you learned it yet? Have you seen it? Have you seen it yet that when you do not judge, you are free of judgment? Have you seen that?
Yes.
Yeah. Isn't that wonderful?
Yes.
Yeah, it is. Because who wants to be judged? No one. Is it true or not?
Yes.
Is it true or not? Laura, is it true or not? Do you want to be judged?
No.
No. Then thank you for participating. So, nobody wants to be judged, but they're willing to judge everybody. Oh, surely, 100%, it's already going on. So, that's okay. People are learning about it because they're in it, right? You should not feel ashamed about learning about judgment. No, I'm not coming there. You should not be ashamed about anything that you're learning about, that you're coming to see. If I'm judging, okay, I'm judging now. I understand that I'm judging now. Do I really want to think like that? Huh? Do I really want to think like that? Do I really want to judge? Okay, so we've covered judgment. Discernment. A judgment is pretty steadfast. It just continues to thicken the soup. To set the cement. It is that way. Bang! Huh? And then discernment has a very beautiful quality. It sees a thief for a thief, a saint for a saint, knowing that the saint was a thief and knowing that the thief will be a saint. So you know that you're not going to let the guy in the door because you have the feeling that you shouldn't. And yet you don't have a judgment on them. Maybe they come back tomorrow and you let them in. Maybe you don't. But you have the sense of judgment, but it's very thin and it's very useful. But it doesn't set in cement your ideas about another. Or even yourself. Self-judgment is also very dangerous. But discernment is very wonderful. It gives you that opportunity to see things for what you see them as without getting chained to it and starting a drama. No?
Yes.
So discernment's very important, and judgment, to learn to relax it tremendously, is also very important. Because as long as you're judging, you won't see through the judgment. Impossible. Go ahead now. Hold on, hold on a minute, Ellen. So there's a point here. Yes.
Yeah.
Hold on for a minute.
I lost it.
Okay, we'll get it later maybe, yeah. Huh? Okay. So go ahead, Ellen, please.
Okay. It brings me to another point, which is in it. And I see now there is a self-judgment and a judgment because of... I see a lack of clarity and a restlessness by these people. And I remembered, as I came back from you last year, I started to realize my own lack of clarity.
That's right.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. That is an absolutely important point. Now, wait. Let's go over that for just 1 minute. Because you see your own lack of clarity, you've already become clearer.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can go into that lack of clarity without self-judgment, you will come out the other end really, really well. Really well. You'll see very clearly, and you don't have to hit yourself over the head. You don't have to demean yourself. You don't have to be nasty to yourself because you don't have the clarity. It's just natural not to have the clarity. This is how we come to see things clearly, is not to have the clarity. Huh? And then we say, I cannot change their clarity, but I can change my own. I can see that, in fact, yes, maybe I'm not as clear on this topic as I thought, and already you're clearer. Just to admit that you're in it, and it's not just everybody else. And it's beautiful. And when you will change one thing, one little grain of sand, are you there or are you frozen? She's frozen.
No, I'm here.
Okay. You're good. One little grain of sand. And it can be, I'm not as clear as I want them to be. Huh? Just that change ripples and gives you the opportunity for a greater depth, so to speak, and to discover the clarity that will, in fact, guide you through because you're willing to see it. Just put them aside. And be very kind to yourself.
Okay.
Generously kind to yourself because you're learning and you're seeing. And what can close that down is self-judgment and self-denial that you're moving in the right way. Uh-huh. It hurts. People need to be right so much that it hurts to be wrong. And I think being wrong is wonderful.
Thank you.
Yeah. It's just as good as being right because it always brings you to center. Oh, that's not the way to go.
Mm-hmm.
But get under it. Oh, my God, I'm not right. What's wrong with me? And that's not the attitude of a yogi. The attitude of a yogi is, this is not the right route. Got it. It'll be shown. I want it to be shown. I want very much that the wisdom within me guide me through this. And it will.
Yeah.
Because you are wise. Because it is there. It's not something that you have to obtain or even cultivate. Find it. Uh-huh. a lot of really silly stuff will just drop off of you and you'll be really happy. Much lighter. Is there anything else there, Ellen?
No, thank you. A big thank you.
Okay, let's keep in touch about it, and I want to hear the end result, because there's going to be a moment that you get a diamond out of this, and you're just going to go, got it. This will reflect throughout my life what I have learned here. You cannot do anything for anyone else, not really. You can offer something, they can take it, they can leave it. That's good. Take your expectations off of them and find out why you're not clear enough. This is grace.
Thank you, Shanti Mai.
You're welcome.
My heart.
So, thank Shanti, you.
I come in September to you, to Terre des Achats. And I'm very looking forward to it.
Me too.
Thank you.
We'll sit under the walnut tree again. Namaste.
Namaste.
Laura?
I was curious. This sense that comes up that feels like I'm not opening the door. First, I thought maybe that's a judgment, or I think the better question is, what is the sense?
Why are you not opening the door? Is that what you're saying?
No, I think in the example or what you were talking about, it's like I feel the sense I'm not opening a door without all the judgment. But then I was still curious, what is then the feeling? In the beginning, I thought
it's self protection. She's asking why. I'm not quite sure about the question, but if I'm wrong, please correct me.
Mm-hmm.
The way I understand it is that Laura is asking, what is it that creates resistance in me? Is that true?
Yeah.
That we can just leave it at that.
Yeah.
Because it's simple. We can talk about it later, but to simplify, it's really good for the whole satsang. Is that fine with you?
Yeah.
Okay. Self-protection. And this is something that I've been wanting to, whether I want to or not, doesn't matter. This is something that I will offer a transmission about, is self-protection. In the world, it's important in a way, no? But when you're in self-discovery, what are you protecting yourself from? I don't want an answer. It's a great question. It's a really good question. And what have I come to receive? And am I worried that it's a cult? Am I worried that somebody's going to take advantage of me? Those are very valid questions. Is it not true? Those are valid questions, because those things go on. When your heart is, I can only relate to my relationship, actually with all of my teachers, not just Maharaji, with Manly P. Hall, with Ram, James Swartz, with Dr. Wu, always, somehow I had the good fortune just to lay myself there and say, guide me. And I feel that was a really great fortune, because I always had faith in myself. I always trusted myself fully. So part of self-protection is not having full trust in yourself. Trust, I'm not real fond of that word, but we'll go with it for now. that because to really open yourself into your dharma, into the dharma, you have to eventually have a lot of trust in yourself. You're not going to trust anyone if you don't trust yourself. If you trust yourself, you'll know who to and who not to associate with. And you'll know that you have the opportunity that you're too bright to be culted. You're too bright to be manipulated. I would say, but you don't have enough faith in that to see that, yes, that will guide me to the right people, to the right situation, to nature, to whatever I'm supposed to. Like Ken, you know, if he would not have found me, he would have been placed in a very good place because only Ken can, you know, be touched in such a way. And he requires that particular way. And he landed here, and thank God that he did. But he would have always been guided in the perfect way. And everybody will. So, 100%. If you're here, if you're not here. And you always have the option to say yes or no, here or not. Isn't it true? No matter where you're at. I mean, here for sure, but no matter where you're at. So you can have faith in that you know that. And you don't have to protect yourself from it. And protecting yourself from it is wobbly. I'm not sure. Always in the thought stream. I'm not sure. I'm not. I'm afraid. I don't want. Well, if you don't want, go away and come back when you want. You're always welcome, but I don't like to play the games. I don't like the drama. I don't like the nonsense at all. So go away and come back when you're ignited. And I pray for your igniting. I pray for that spark to go into your heart and just burst open with your own wisdom emerging. Otherwise, I don't like to play the games. I don't like it. I don't like the drama. I'm not into it. Do you understand?
Yes.
Yeah. So when you're really, really willing to say, I trust myself fully, and I will to go within myself, step by step, slowly, slowly, in a leap, whatever it takes, however long it takes, whatever. Yes, for my heart and soul. Yes. That's why your name is so good, Will. So, trust yourself and you'll get by really, 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 really well, no matter where you go, no matter who you're with. And you will actually ignite others unknowingly to have that faith in themselves. Pio. Oh, namaste, Pio. I can't hear you again.
Namaste, Shanti Mai.
You are. How are you?
I'm very fine. Thank you.
Obviously.
Yes. I would like to share my infinite gratitude for breathing with you and with Maria, of course, a sense of undefinable eternity. And for me, so strong to live in a constant transformation and at the same time breathing with you and with Maria, this sense of something that is always present and unchangeable, undefinable, and together with this, I understand, I am aware of how much I have to learn, my God.
And moment to moment. And I just got something in my heart, and I'm going to say it.
Please.
Maria has already entered you. And that happens with the master. There's something, there's some element of their being that is transferred. In Zen, it's called passing the lamp. And I'm getting cold chills all the way down to my toes. And I can just see the fire of Murray in you, but not as her, but as Pio.
Thank you for saying this, because I feel this.
Yeah, good.
When 20 days ago she passed by, there were so many commemoration to say goodbye to her, and I couldn't join this because actually for me is present all the time. And I fill my eyes with a wider vision.
Yes.
And also, it's so sweet, so strong, so incredible. To feel this about her and to feel this with you, not in this order, in the same order. There is not before or after. For me, it's so clear this. It's so incredible that I can listen to you, for instance, today and always, and feel the same gift to be in this eternal flow of transformation, which is based on love.
It is. It is. It is, Pio. It is, Pio. Be one. I want to say one thing to you.
Please.
Love does not always look soft. I've told you this before.
Mm-hmm.
Love is sometimes a sword that cuts something very clearly away without pulling it clean. And it's done in a state of love.
Mm.
Do you understand?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Now proceed as you will.
Loving you. Always.
Yes, I love you too, Pio, with all of my heart and soul. And I can see the monkey behind you.
Yeah.
You're back in Italy.
Yes, I am. Thank you so much, Santimai.
Thank you, too. Namaste to you.
Namaste.
I'll see you soon. Anyhow, I'll see you in November. We'll be together.
Yes.
Yes, that'll be so wonderful. Namaste. Give Lucas my love.
I will. Thank you.
Namaste. Max.
Namaste.
I have to go with Gabrielle. I don't know why I
Namaste, Shantimai.
Namaste. How are you?
It was me. I raised the hand. Now I got heart beating. Yeah, so it's good. So good to see you. Directly.
Absolutely.
I wanted to talk about something you said in the last Wangpo transmission.
Oh, yeah?
Not singularly about Wangpo's transmission, but I took notes. So in the context of in the beginning, not wishing to be the future Buddha, you said something about identity, and that completely follows me since then, because identity is something I'm quite busy with right now. So what is it okay with? I just quote. I quote you.
Sure. I'm fully listening. Please.
Great. So you said, don't wish to be anything than what you truly are, and it's not your personality, but your personality is an expression of how you see yourself and how you want others to see you.
Yes.
And all of the impressions and inspirations and pains that you've lived up to now, the joy, the sorrow, all that contains your whole life is who you define yourself now.
Yes.
So to aspire to be anything other in the future, well, actually that was the part. It's not so much about the not wanting to be the Buddha part. It's about this identity.
Well, that's what the whole point is identity, to become a future Buddha, which means you have a very strict idea about what that means and what that looks like and how it has to be. And you're going to fail at that miserably. Everybody's tickled here because they know it's true. You put out these ideas, not you, the broad you. You put out these ideas about how spectacular spirituality must be and what has to happen and how it has to be and when you have to get it, and if you don't, you're gonna. And it's like, wow, what are you doing to yourself? Why not just be like you are?
Yes. And
yeah,
it's so strange, but that's actually the easy part of what you said here. I know that you know, projecting into the future, how whatever I've done that, been there.
Gabriella, what future?
Exactly. So that's not what I'm struggling with. What set me on fire was what you said about identity, personality. Personality is what I'm circling around, and what you said on how we see ourselves and how we want to be seen, because that's really tricky, this wanting to be seen.
I hear it all the time. I heard it last night. Something was said and somebody said, well, I feel seen. What does that mean?
Yes.
And who needs to see you other than you? And why are you hungering for being seen? And I don't think you are. I think you're just falling into the trap of spiritual talk.
Yes.
That's what I feel, that there's so much spiritual nonsense talk going on. I want to be seen. Okay, you want to be seen? And then they say, well, why are you looking at me? Make up your mind. The important part, really, all joking aside, is that through our journey in life, is that we understand the neutrality and broad incomprehensibility of love. That it's not an emotional state. It's not a yummy state. Sometimes it can be. It's not an attractive state. It's an outpouring of life. Mm-hmm. And that, let's look at the word, two words. Let's look at two words, because this is coming up for me. Identity. I dent. Do you know what a dent is?
I know a tooth. No.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
That's not what it is.
Dent it's like is something when you hit the wall and there's a dent.
Exactly. And there it is.
You repeat it?
Yes, yes. She wants it repeated. Identity or identity. I dent. This is what I am. That is what I am. This is what I am. This is who I am. I am a graduate. I am intelligent. I am a woman. I am a man. I am a German. I am American. All those things are true, but they're not really who you are. Because you can get another passport from another country, and then what? What happened to your German-ness? Oh, it's still there. But now I'm this. Well, I, Shanti Mai, I was born Mary Metzger. I was born Mary Metzger, adopted Mary Sudia, married Mary Hamrick, married Mary, let's see, what was the other marriage? I don't remember. And I don't remember. And married to Indro. And Master Ing and Shanti Mai. So where am I in all of that? Well, what I can truly say is I am. I can always say I am. And it really narrows down all of the incredible things that we can possibly be that never leads us to who we are. I am. I am. Now let's take one more word. Information. All the same. Hands, please. So everybody's in formation, right? I'm 100%. Deeply immersed in information. And information is still important. We don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. We broaden the scope. And information is not knowing. How did the green get in the leaves? I don't know. How does the yellow get there? I don't know. How did my head sit on a neck framed by a skeleton with all this muscle and fat and skin and bone? What is it? I have no idea. What a relaxation. You have nothing to do, really. Remember the transmission on nothing to do? You need not dig deep to resolve things of the past. I love that one.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Let's resolve things of the past by digging into what isn't there. Past is gone. a moment ago is finished. The person who walked in here is not the person who will walk out. This one breath unto another is not a completely different person, but a different person. Because time does not stop for you. It does not freeze. Isn't that wonderful? Mm-hmm. So you're a lovely, lovely person. Both of you are. Take it or leave it. It's not a compliment. It's an observation. I don't like compliments. I find them hollow and useless. It's an observation of who you are, or how I see you, or how you present yourself to me. Thank you. Because I feel that as we uplift each other through this life, how wonderful is that? Shall we do that alone? If that's all we ever do, wow. Because we can go through our whole life knowing and struggling and expanding and all of that and never be good to each other. Or rarely. Or always want somebody to be a certain way so that we can accept them for who we want them to be. You learned that with your parents, Will, didn't you? What magnificent people your parents are. And sometimes we look through such narrow view. We're judging and we're putting it out this way and putting out that way. And we never give anybody a break. Just by being quiet, letting them be 100% who they are. Without one expectation laying upon them. And then you really see. Isn't it true? Then you really get to see. But all your expectations are a waste of time. And they hurt you. And you're in pain because of it. Huh? And there's no necessity for that. A yogi sees everything as, well, like it or not, I'm going to say it, God's presence as life itself. I don't know, again, what God is. I don't know who God is. But the wind is blowing through the leaves, and I'm watching them turn yellow. And that's enough for me. I don't have to believe in something, someone, somewhere. I can see everywhere that this is a mystery beyond comprehension. Just life itself, just breath, just planet Earth, let alone the solar system, let alone this sun beaming in the sky, nurturing all of life. How did that happen? I do not know. I love that not knowing. It leaves me in profound, deep, observing, loving peace. And there's a language there. There's a language in that piece. You have, I would say, maybe not. I don't want to frame anything, but I would say that you have, I'm going to say it, but it may not be exactly accurate. You have to be very intimate with that piece before the language becomes evident. I would say that that is so. Well, at least that's my experience. Because most people think peace, there's nothing there. Eh. No stimulation. But there's a depth of just not knowing. It's like the grail. Filling, overflowing, filling. It's like Rumi's poem, Once I was immature, and then I matured, and then I was consumed. Well, you're consumed anyhow. Don't think that that's going to happen. You're going to discover that that has always been so. There's a governor in life that is creating movement, breath, heartbeat. I don't know anything about it. I don't need to know anything about it. I could just see it's functioning. And people who know a lot about it may not even see that it's functioning. Mm-hmm. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah. Huh?
So, anyhow, thank you. Anything else, Gabrielle?
Yes, thank you, Shantimai, for the three graces today. Just
yeah, important.
They came at the right, perfect time for me. That was
thank wonderful. You also thank for you. Sitting, because there is a Sangha here. So the Zoom satsangs are very interesting because there is a present Sangha and there is the expanded Sangha out on Zoom. So we're speaking here and we're speaking there. And I thank you for your patience with me that I could speak to the people here as well. But I'm speaking to everyone, I guess.
Yes, you are. Thank you.
Thank you.
You always are. Thank you so much.
Thank you, too. I look forward to the time you come to TDS.
We plan on coming on Christmas.
Great.
Yes.
Max, do you have something to say?
Yes.
Great.
I've been going through challenging times since I came back from Teresacha.
You were going through challenging times before you came to Teresacha.
Also, yes.
you told me so.
Yes.
Yes, okay.
And also a lot of understanding and grace and support came to me. And what you said today about observing without command, that really got to me because I can see that what really makes this challenge so hard is that what I'm thinking about it. And that's where the wanting to change it in a way that's unhealthy starts when I start believing in the comments I have about the experience I'm going through.
Mm-hmm. I understand.
But it's uncomfortable a lot. It was concerning my work, it's concerning my art, concerning my inner experiences, it showed up everywhere.
Well, this is giving you an opportunity.
Yes.
Not think of yourself as art, as this, as that. And it's not easy. And it's not comfortable. And life is not comfortable and not easy sometimes.
Yes. So I just wanted to bring that in and share it and get a lot of support also today. It was really beautiful. Thank you very much.
Thank you too, Max. Namaste. You're going to make it through, Max. You've already made it through a lot. Yeah. No?
Absolutely.
I see that you're still here. And you're smiling, and you got a nice shirt on, and a lovely person next to you, and life is good, challenging, but good.
Indeed.
We'll see how it goes. I'm hoping to come out the other end real well. I know Max that much. Namaste. Be good to each other. Excuse me, I'm going with Tim, and then I have Shirin, I believe is how you pronounce that, and then we'll stop there. We'll stop the satsang right there. So, Tim, how you doing, Tim?
Good, thanks. Namaste, Shantimai.
Namaste, Australia.
When you were talking about grace and Guru's grace and the different forms of grace, it just touched me very deeply. I felt that from you, particularly in relation to the lodges, every time I reach out to you, and your grace is felt so deeply on a regular basis by myself and other people who attend the lodges. And my experience of that has been evolving. So when you spoke about the self-grace, I really feel like giving myself permission to accept that. Surrender is not the right word, but really have a different relationship with you. I don't see you as an individual anymore. I know you've got a personality and we have that level of relationship, but you are Shantimai, which is not Shantimai, a person or an identity to me anymore.
Right.
And that twist of the screwdriver has made all the difference for me personally. And just the way that perception subtly changes the words that I use in my communication with you, the sense of responsibility that I have and my inner integrity around, you know, self-examination and the removal of all story, because it just becomes completely irrelevant.
Hey! Yeah, absolutely irrelevant. It's like leaves dropping off the tree in the autumn to prepare for the winter. I tell you, there is nothing to it except for let the old and the useless die away and stop supporting it. And I want to say something to you, Tim. May I correct your language?
Yeah.
You don't need to give yourself permission. You don't have to go through that route.
Mm.
You just
do it. Yeah, I guess that was a poor choice of language. It's not really it's been quite organic and seamless. It doesn't feel like I'm giving myself permission.
Yeah.
But all I can say is it's freedom. It's a freedom that is very demanding, but I've bashed my head against the wall so many times and been down so many rabbit holes that that to me is, if you want to say surrender, it's just a knowing that comes from having tried so many different things, tried every way to get there quickly, find the silver bullet, whatever it might be. And I just love the Gate, Gate, Param Gate. That's the whole shooting match as far as I'm concerned, because every time I feel like I've arrived somewhere or myself, my smaller, you know, like I, if I make a personal decision that I've arrived, I just remind myself I haven't arrived anywhere. There's nowhere to arrive, actually.
We're always at square one.
Yeah.
Always. It doesn't mean there's anywhere to go but square one.
Yeah.
All these ideas are completely irrelevant.
Yeah, and also for me, that's what grace is as well. The grace isn't separate from the great mystery or true nature or love or whatever you want to. The grace is the expression of the truth by someone who has understood the truth at a very high level or at any level.
Mm. You are gracing. He does magnificent lodges. You are gracing everyone who comes into your lodge. And everyone who comes into your lodge is gracing you. Uh-huh. The whole atmosphere is pure grace, one unto each other. And this is the best of all. To know you, Tim, to know Max, to know Sangha, to know Gabriella, to know Pio, all who came on today, everyone who is sitting with me, the entire world. This is incredibly gracious. And I receive it back. I receive it back, and it's just, it's like the ocean coming into the shore and the ocean coming back out of the shore. And the song that it sings, and one is so deeply soothed in their soul because of it, and continues through challenges. You know, Max just talked about the challenges, and you're talking about the challenges. But you know you'll get through it, and you know that the wisdom is bright, you know, and all of this stuff, like you say, all of this unnecessary, old, outdated, useless crap just falls away of its own because you realize it's useless, old. Huh?
Oh.
Well, whatever. Go ahead, please.
No, I just really wanted to express my gratitude, Shanti Mai, maybe just one other story, because we had a lodge on Saturday. It was quite a big lodge, and I got a call from a gentleman who wasn't able to make it because he said he couldn't come because his wife was working, and he needed babysitters for his kids. He has two young kids. And I knew this guy. The previous lodge he'd shared with me that after the lodge he had to leave early because he had to go and stock shelves at Coles, which is, a supermarket here in Australia. So I kind of remembered that. I said, look, because we take donations for the lodges and I had a kitty there. And the reason I'm sharing this story is for a few things, because it fed me so deeply. It makes me very emotional to share it. But I said, look, let me transfer you some money to cover the babysitting. And then afterwards you take your wife out it was their anniversary, take your wife out for a meal. And yesterday he sent me a picture of him and his kids having this beautiful meal. And I don't know why it touches me so deeply, but it just fed me. And that, to me, that action that you inspired in me by some of the things that you've shared with me previously about what you do with your funds and how people don't always take it seriously that you're there to serve in that way. It's just beautiful. It was... To see that picture, I'll send it to you because it's just beautiful.
Yeah.
And I just share that. It's not to say that I'm a generous person. It fed me so, so deeply. Mm. And it was inspired by something that you said to me. And, yeah, I want to do it more, and I want to do it spontaneously in that way as I'm called to do it.
Yes. Yes. I want to tell the story of the person on the street in Delhi again. The Indian man, handkerchief salesman. Because there's something about generosity that looks like this as well. And you don't even know that you're being generous until somebody says so, right? Can I tell the story, Tim?
Please.
So I was telling yesterday, when I'm traveling, I'm not interested in talking with people. I'm interested in being completely on my own. So Sahar and I were walking through Connaught Place, and this Indian man comes up to me. And he says, "Madam, would you like to buy some handkerchiefs?" And I said, "No, I wouldn't. I'm going to walk on now. So goodbye." And he follows me. And he says, "Madam, they're so inexpensive. You can afford to get a whole package of them for 10 rupees or something like this." At the time, I said, "I don't want any handkerchiefs, and I'm going to go now." He followed me. "I can make them even cheaper for you. You can even get more for the same amount of money." I said, "I'm not good. I do not." I said, "I just want to walk by myself. Is that all right with you?" He said to me, "I know you think we Indians are like dogs." And he walked away. And I thought about it for about 1 second. And I turned on a dime and I walked right behind that man. And I said, "How dare you put your ideas on me? I never in my life would even think such a thing. In my life, I would never think like that. And you're blaming me for thinking as you're thinking." And I said, "I've lived in India 25 years off and on, huh? And I didn't defend myself by saying, I revere Indian people. I say, I never in my life." And I told him, I said, "You can't even imagine how I see you. I do not see you like that. You can." And so there's this group of people starting to gather around. I was just livid. And I told him, I said, "You don't project on me your ideas and make me responsible for how you think." And you know what he said to me? "Thank you, madam." "Thank you." And I said, "You're very welcome. You're very, very, very welcome." And we had a beautiful heart for the moment.
I love that story.
Yeah, I do too. And that's another kind of generosity. And you don't even know you're giving it, not until the person says, "I see it." Thank you, Tim.
Thank you, Shanti.
Send the photos and tell me about your son a little bit when you write. Yeah. Okay?
Yes, I will.
How old is he?
He's 28.
Mm-hmm. Good age.
Yeah, he's a good man.
I'm sure. He's got a good mom and dad.
Yeah. Thank you, Shanti Mai.
Namaste.
Namaste.
Let's move to Sirin and we'll close the satsang. Hey, how are you? Yeah, I can't hear you, so you're muted. Well, speak so we can know whether you're not muted or not. No, you're still. Something's coming.
Hello, can you hear me?
I can hear you now.
Okay, namaste, Shantima. I just wanted to share with you what happened because you told me to let you know. Last time we spoke during the Zoom conference, I told you that we wanted to have a baby, and I become pregnant now, and I wanted to share it with you. That's it. I just wanted to share it.
You take really good care of yourself.
Yes.
No fighting with anyone.
Okay.
Enjoy your life.
Yes. Okay.
Be good to your child. Chant some Gayatris for your baby.
Gayatri. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Okay.
Love very deeply the being that's developing within you. Don't be lifting heavy things. Don't be overdoing anything. You're, okay. Yeah, you're making a baby now. I love this. It's so beautiful. You keep me informed as to this pregnancy, will you?
Yes,
of course. How far along are you?
It's 8 weeks now.
8 weeks now?
Yes.
Wonderful.
And I feel very lucky because it was very easy. And that's why also I am very grateful.
And continue to be not overly careful, but careful. And really good to yourself. And send that baby love from your heart. You're parenting now. The moment you realize you're pregnant, you're parenting. Okay. I'm so happy.
Thank you.
Yeah, I got almost tears in my eyes. I'm so joyful about it.
Yeah, I wanted to share it with you because it also feels like I shared it with Maharaji.
Big blessing to you. Mm-hmm. It's all good. When you're weeping, weep for joy. What do you want to say? And then we will close. Yeah, see, I got a tear in my eye. Huh? It's lovely.
Yes, last year I was in India and I went seeing Maharaj's ashram and I prayed about this also. And it's... I don't know. Yeah, it's so interesting to see how things happen, and the timing. I don't know anything how it will go on and the timing and everything. But I feel also like it was decided before, not even. And it is like predestined. I don't know. It was like as if I prayed first time. It was already realized.
Well, wait a minute. I'm getting a lot of confusion. So what was predestined?
Like to have the baby this now.
Yes. Well, of course. Of course. Yeah. You may make love. You may make love again and again and again. And the moment that spark ignites is not up to you.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
The moment that child will be born and its first breath is not up to you. The end of that child's life and the last breath belongs to God. And these are really, really beautiful parts of life. Mm-hmm. Tim was speaking about surrender and spirituality, so to speak, whatever that is. Surrender is yes, 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 yes. Forever yes, forever yes. I don't know what the yes means, but it's in place.
Thank you. Thank you. That's
you're very,
all.
You're very welcome. Thank you for the good news.
Thank you.
Yes. Namaste. Grandma? Oh, look who's there. Oh, good pretty.
Sorry for the confusion in the beginning.
No, not at all. Not at all. Are you going to play for us?
Yes, we play something. We play beautiful ragas called Vrindavani Sarang. And perhaps it is from Krishna, it is from Vrindavan, Vrindavani Sarang.
Pradeep, do you know that Joshimath is falling apart?
Oh, Joshimath, there was landslides I have seen. Yeah.
Not only that, the earth is opening up, the temples are cracking.
Oh.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And in Vrindavan, it's very interesting what's happening. They say the Himalayas are moving. And so all the way down to Rishikesh and Dehradun, but less effect there. But in Vrindavan, or not Vrindavan, in Badrinath, it's really, you got to look at India today and take a look and see what's happening up there.
Wow.
Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah.
The world is changing.
Yes. But Rishikesh is okay. So when we are there.
Yeah, let's pray.
Yeah, we will stay.
Yes.
For 1 month. When you are there, we are looking for a nice place near Satchadham. Premo is helping us. Premo is helping me to suggest nice place.
Nice. Good. I will be glad to see you in India.
Yes, of course. We are very, very happy.
Wonderful.
Thank you. Thank you.
Wonderful, 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 wonderful. Really. Well, would you say that is? Is it a raga?
Yeah, it is a raga. It's called Vrindavani Saranga.
And how old do you think that is?
How old?
How old?
Yeah. It
must be very old, thousands of years old.
Exactly.
It is, for this time, it is suitable. It is played at noontime. This is the very correct time for this raga.
It's wonderful. I know they have morning ragas.
Exactly, exactly.
Ragas, evening ragas that are playing all the time.
This is the noon raga.
Midnight ragas.
This is the noon raga. Yeah.
Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Thank you so much for coming.
Ah, oh, yes, yes.
Yeah,
Well, that's satsang. Namaste, everyone. Namaste. Be well. Be happy. See you next week.